you know, Myron, there are so many aspects of environmentalism, ways of how we have to be aware of how we're treating the land. And I wonder if, in the past, farmers were aware of just what was needed to care for the earth. I mean, I don't know, but it seems to me that our government encouraged people to settle the country, you know, reach out and grab as much as you can, clear cut the trees, fence the plains, dig up all that you can, produce as much as you can, and that those policies and goals worked against the welfare of the earth. So what were the actual policies and attitudes of the past toward farming, and how do we need to maintain or change them now and into the future?
We've known what the right thing is to do for a very long time. 1862, the Lincoln administration passed into law the Homestead Act, which granted 160 acres, an acre is about a football field, of land to any settler who would plant 10 acres of trees, especially on the Great Plains. The idea is trees are useful as a building material, as shelter, and also as a windbreak. Many of those tree claims, as they were known to be called, were faked. People took the land but didn't plant the trees. And on the Great Plains, you have to nurture trees to keep them alive. It's not like living here in Wisconsin, where you get plenty of rain and trees just seem to grow all over the place. So it was the law, but it was not really promoted to the extent that it was intended. That whole era ends with the Dirty 30s. The land dried up even worse. The dirt farming techniques that were being used were incredibly bad. And then there is a look at what we had done and what we need to do. And so we had a huge push of tree planting again all up and down the Great Plains. The term tree claim takes you back to 1862, a claim of land for planting trees. And then the terminology from the 50s is the shelter belt. And you could get all kinds of government assistance to plant rows of trees about every quarter mile to break the wind coming from Canada, heading all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico. Those shelter belts worked incredibly well, and they're a good conservation technique for all kinds of wildlife and for protecting the soil from the wind velocity. My big fear now is that with the advent of heavily chemical farms, that when I travel back out there, I see a lot of dead trees. I don't know that we're doing as good a job as we need to do to keep those trees alive so that we don't repeat the mistakes of the past.
I'm pretty sure that the knowledge of many of our listeners is pretty shallow. When you refer to the 1930s, what is known as the Dust Bowl, could you describe the magnitude of that event?
Well, it caused a tremendous out-migration of people from all up and down the Great Plains. The population just plummeted. We end up with a number of different rules coming out of that, especially environmental laws, as I mentioned, and the promotion of trees, and also the building of dams to hold water back in preparation for the next time there's a drought. Well, all that dam building now is being questioned as well. You break the natural flow of the streams and so on. So there's always questions being raised. But the two things that I can really think of are the tree planting and the building of dams on almost every tiny little river. And major rivers were dammed up not only for hydroelectric power, but also for water for use in the next drought.
I'm afraid, Myron, that part of the incentive under the fiscal thumb of donors to campaigns, the incentive is for our government to deregulate even further. So the shelter belt, the kind of incentives that were offered there to protect our land, have those been degraded further? Is there any kind of assurance in law, any kind of leverage that the government has been using or maybe is ceasing to use to encourage this kind of tree planting and protecting of our land resources?
One of the programs that causes a significant amount of controversy for the big farm states is the CRP. It's a crop reduction program, and it was paying farmers to not plant, to let their fields go back to natural grasslands with the idea of reducing the volume of grain, which then, in effect, raises the price. That, conservation-wise, was very, very good, but it also takes land out of production. And so with the price of grains go up, farmers want to plant more and more and more. Unfortunately, that is the situation that it created the Dust Bowl in the 1930s. In the 1920s, the price went down and people planted as much as they could plant. same ground over and over and over again. The difference today is chemicals that are being used for fertilizer keep the land productive, and the genetically modified seeds can withstand much drier conditions than they could ever have stood before. But the taking land out of conservation programs and removing trees that you can plant every acre is something that has been going on. And now I think another part of that whole story is the incredible use of irrigation. Anybody who's flown over the Great Plains and looked out the window on a clear day sees those wonderful green circles. We are using that Ogallala Aquifer and the aquifers out there and irrigating land that was never meant to grow as much crop as it is growing. And I don't know that that's sustainable, and there is significant concern about the over-irrigation and the overuse of the aquifers for that.